Hi, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. I'm going to share just a little bit about our ministry, then I'm going to bring a short Bible teaching. But before I do, I was just talking to someone. I want to say, God bless you guys as you persevere as salt and light in this country. We get back to the USA not that often, every now and then, but, this is a this country really needs the salt and light of people who are standing strong in Christ. So God bless you for doing that. Anyway, I want to just share a little bit about ourselves. I've known Mike and Kim. My wife and I have known Mike and Kim for over 15 years. We used to work together in Cambodia. So I do want to show that picture. Can you spot Mike? We all look so much older now. And it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. But that was probably 2007 or 8, and you can really tell it with Mike and Kim's kids, can't you? They've grown up a lot in the time since then. Not only did we work together, but they lived in a place called Snool, and you can change it there, and that was their house. And the interesting thing is about 15 years later, we went to this same place, and we lived in the same house, okay? But so they broke it in for us. But that's where they've lived, and that's where we've lived. And you can show one more. I like this one. Kim wanted to buy a pet for her kids one day. And no. No, I'm teasing. But there's a little idea of the fun things you do in Cambodia when you're raising kids. And some of those are the landlord kids as well. So anyway, joy to have worked with Mike and Kim. And I really do want to say thank you for praying for us as a church. It means a lot to us. It really, really does. Good to be here in person. Okay. So just a brief intro about Cambodia and us, and you can go to the map, I think. That's the white. The white is Cambodia. And I just show this sometimes because we've actually been mistaken for working in Cameroon or something like that. So just to show you where Cambodia is, that's by Thailand and Laos and Vietnam. The red area there, you can kind of see the red lines. I just show that because there's 2,000 or so churches in Cambodia right now, but that red part with the border of Vietnam is a little bit more of the unreached areas, and Snool, where we work and where Mike and Kim have worked, is one of the more unreached areas. So I just want you to see that on a map. Today, there's about 2,000 churches. The Christian population is about 4%, so 4% of the people are believers. And that is why, you can go to the next slide. In the early 90s, this was the percentage of Christians in Cambodia. It was zero. It was against the law to be a Christian. The official population was 0%. Now, in truth, there was an underground church. You can go to the next slide. If you've ever heard of the Cambodian killing fields and you've heard of the Khmer Rouge, if there was any of those underground churches surviving, they were probably dealt with by these guys. But in the 90s, early 90s, an amazing thing happened in the world of missions, and that is Cambodia suddenly declared religious freedom. And to go from completely closed to declaring religious freedom, it's a big deal in the mission world. And so missionaries could go in, and here's a picture of, this is actually one of our colleagues, and he was one of the first missionaries into the country. And that was Jenny and I, 25 years ago. Now, some of you will think that we just took that picture last week. No. I assure you. No. Anyway, that was us in 1997, and that's when we first arrived in the country. We were, among the first wave of missionaries coming into the country. And you go to the next slide. And we had two boys who were born while we were in Cambodia. That's Arlie and Josiah. And you go to the next slide. And that's them now. That's actually all of us now. So they're older now. And that was at my eldest son's wedding. And that was just last year. You can go to the next slide, please. We are church planters. There's different types of missionaries, but we call ourselves church planters. And that means that we've learned the Cambodian language. And that's a picture of the Cambodian Bible. Mike and Kim, do you remember what book that is? Or Yeah, Matthai, Matthew, very good. You guys, you still remember. So we've learned the language, and we go to, in the 25 years that we've been in Cambodia, we've lived in different areas. We typically go to unreached parts of the country. You evangelize using the Cambodian language. And usually there's this wonderful first moment, and that's when the first believer in an area, you know, comes to Christ. And by God's grace, there starts to be a few more. But we don't consider a church planted until we see something like this. You can go to the next slide. Until we see Cambodians baptizing Cambodians. In other words, a church planter wants to see a church that has its own Bible teachers and own church leaders. Okay? And the process to go from that first believer to having a church that has its own Bible teachers and church leaders and financially independent, that takes about 10 years, okay, in any one location, about 8 to 10 years. It's not a quick process. And so currently, Jenny and I, we now live in Snul, Cambodia. Say that with me, Snul. Yeah, that's where we live. And we'd just love to have your continued prayers for that. Thank you for your prayers. And we do have I think there's a clipboard sign-up sheet. If anyone would like to receive more regular prayer news, we'd love to email you our monthly prayer letter. You can sign up for it back there. So today I'm going to bring a short Bible message as well. And it's just a message that's very dear to my heart as a missionary. But I know that it has application for all of us everywhere. And you can go to that next slide, or you can go in your Bibles if you want to look at the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, okay? Here's what we do in Cambodia sometimes, is we just read a verse together, just to get it into our minds, and we count to three, Mui Bi Bai, that's Cambodian, but I'll say one, two, three, and we'll read this all together, okay? One, two, three. You, my brothers and sisters, called to be free. Okay, thank you. The reason this is really a special verse for me is that in Cambodia, when people come to Christ, they will often remark on the freedom that they now feel. They really will. And it's kind of funny because I don't actually hear American Christians talk about that too much, but the Cambodian Christians will often talk about this, the freedom, the freedom, the freedom. And that's because they come from a religious system that really puts them into a lot of bondage, okay? They feel a lot of bondage, just a lot of tie that goes into the whole thing. The Bible Sunday school class was over here. I mentioned what the religion in Cambodia is, and what is it again, you remember?
Buddhism.
Yeah, it's Buddhism, okay? Now, Buddhism, it pretty much says this, is that in your lifetime, you want to do more good than bad, okay? Now, think about if that was your religion. You know, how successful would you feel about that? Trying to do more good than bad, okay? And so the average Cambodian, they'll always kind of be thinking about this, and they'll do good work. They call it making merit, and they'll do that, and for a few days, they're going to feel quite good about themselves. They're going to kind of feel like, okay, I've gotten ahead of the curve here, okay? But a few days more go by, and then they start to think, whoa, I don't know, was that actually enough, you know? So, I better do more good works. And it's this constant, constant cycle that the average Cambodian's going to feel, okay? Maybe you can show that. I forgot to mention that. There's the typical temple that you would have in Cambodia. You can see the picture of the Buddha, and Cambodians will go there on many occasions, but the main idea is they want to make merit. They want to do more good than bad. So they're always in this cycle, you know, and the thing is you never know where the limit is. You never know if you've done enough good, okay? So you've always got that question mark, and you've always got that stress. You know, am I on the right side of the good or bad equation? You can go to the next slide. Can you see that okay? That's looks a little shadowy. Sorry about that. Those are two young girls. They are playing on a small wood plank over the sewer that runs right by their house. This right here would be the poorest of the poor in Cambodia. And the reason I bring this up is that it's the poor people in Cambodia, they have what I call a double bondage, okay? The first bondage is that they will carry around this stigma their whole lives that says that they're poor because of all the bad stuff that they've done in the previous life, okay? So if you're poor and crippled in Cambodia, this is what most of the people are going to think of you. You've been a bad person, okay? And a lot of times these people will think that of themselves, you know? This is their identity that they'll carry around, okay? But the other, the double part of the bondage is, and you can go to the next slide, is that this is how you make merit. And again, I'm not sure how much you can see there, but you got the monks on the left. You've got the rich Cambodians on the other side of the table, and they're making merit. They are providing this great meal for the monks. Maybe they've given money to the temple, and that's how you do it, okay? To make merit and to appease all of your bad ways, it takes money, okay? So if you're poor or if you're crippled and you can't work, you know, you're almost left with no hope. How do you ever get out of that cycle? How do you have any hope of doing enough good than you're bad? So it's probably no surprise that when people do come to Christ in Cambodia, it's almost always from the poor. It's almost always from the poor, you know, from those people in society that just have no hope, okay? And praise the Lord. Okay? So Cambodians who receive Jesus, they'll often remark on that freedom that they have. And it is a wonderful freedom, isn't it? It's a freedom that says that God fully accepts me and fully forgives me, not because of what I do, but it's because of my faith. That's an amazing thing to hear, even today, and it's especially amazing for Cambodians. You can go to the next slide. Okay, let's read this one together too. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly
in love. Okay. Yeah, so people come to Christ. It's called freedom because we have been saved from the bondage of trying to do more good works than our bad works. But Paul is pointing out that a lot of times when people come to Christ, okay, is we're going to have a selfish nature, all right? And I do see this a lot as well. People will come to Christ, and even though they're experiencing this wonderful freedom, okay, what they really want to do is kind of be left alone. They kind of want to wait till heaven, you know, do my own thing, okay? They don't really want to think about others too much because that's hard, and it kind of goes against the natural nature. But Paul is saying that, man, when we come to Christ and we experience the freedom, our response to this should be to serve one another in love. So I want to go back to my experience in Cambodia again. And you can go to that next slide. This is what a group looks like, brand new group. This would be people who are, they've just barely made a profession of faith in Christ, or it's people who are actually interested in hearing the gospel. But in other words, it's very early days, okay? And as a missionary, you look at a group like this and you can see the potential. You can see that, you know, someday this can become a, you know, just a powerful church in the area. But for right now, it's very small, it's very fragile. And missionaries at this stage, we often don't know if this group's going to survive, or is it going to die, you know, what's going to happen with it, okay? But there's one thing, I've learned this from my experience, there's one thing that can happen that becomes almost an absolute sure sign that the group's going to survive. And that is when you start to see people in the group serving one another in love, okay? It absolutely transforms the small group, okay? It does three things. It shows that there's an act of God going on because people are naturally quite selfish. Okay, and I want to just show a picture real quick, if you can go to that next slide. This is a picture of, this is a not posed or staged, this is two actual believers up in Snewell. The one is lying down because she's sick. That's actually a hospital clinic right there. And the one who's sitting is a believer showing compassion. When you get checked into a hospital in Cambodia, you've got to do a lot of stuff for yourself. You need family or loved ones around. And here's just someone in the church family going to comfort the believer who's sick. But this is not natural. It's not natural in Cambodia anyway for people to use their time, for people to use their money to serve someone else. And so when you see something like this, it's a sign that, man, God is at work. Now, the other thing that's going on is that this is really the point of time where when you start to see people serving one another in the church group in love, it's just a matter of time before these believers start to serve their family members. They start to become this powerful witness in their families. Families start to transform. And the third thing is that when we start to see people serving one another in these new church groups, this is when you know that the church is about to grow. It's about to grow in numbers. It almost always happens this way. People start to serve one another in the group. The next step is they're going to start to serve people in the community. They're going to be a witness. And this is when you start to see the church grow. And so after 25 years of being a missionary, I would say that it's almost impossible to do church planting, to see a church grow in an unreached area, unless God does a real work and we start to see Christians serving one another humbly in love. Okay. You can go to the next slide, please. There's a whole other thing going on when we serve one another in love. Okay, it's not just about church planting, it's not just about seeing church growth. But this is a powerful statement. The Bible says that the entire law is fulfilled when we keep this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. When we start to serve one another in love, when Cambodians start to see one another in love, a church is actually fulfilling how God wants the church to be. Again, in Cambodia, when I think about in a new church plant, I try to think, what's the end goal? What should this look like in 10 years' time? Okay. And I've learned this is what we've got to think. We've got to think, we've got to envision what we want to see is a church full of people where we're serving one another in love, where we've seen the God act in such a way that he's transformed our hearts to love one another and serve one another. So I'm going to just make three quick statements here because I'm really interested in this question. I've said that for church planting, we need to see people serving one another. I'm interested, how do we do this? First of all, how do people go from being naturally selfish and being transformed to have a heart where they desire to serve other people, spend their time, spend their money? How do we do that? I'm interested as well because I know in my own heart, I see the selfishness. So I'm curious about this. I want Holy Spirit. Amen. Was that you? Come on up and preach. Will you? No, I heard that's exactly right. Okay. And you know what the wonderful thing is that Galatians chapter 5, it really kind of lays this whole thing out. This is a teaching about how God transforms our hearts to go from selfish to serving. And it's absolutely the Holy Spirit. Can you go to the next slide, please? Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3.
So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
When you read that, desires of the flesh, just think selfishness. You know, how are we transformed from our selfishness that we've been born with? And here's the good news. This is my first point. It's really simple. But only God can change us. Only God can change our selfish heart. There's a saying in Cambodia. Kim and Mike, you might remember this. Kluun bung kluun. That means you can only depend upon yourself. You can only trust yourself. In the Buddhist religion, we often see that Buddha statue, but that Buddha is not considered a god. That Buddha was just a normal person who showed them the right way to live. And so what that means in Cambodian culture is there really is no living God to depend upon, no living God to call upon. Okay? So if a Cambodian wants to, say, change his heart, change his habits, or change anything, it's only because he tries really hard. It's because of his grit and his self-discipline and his hard work. But thank God, it's only God that can change hearts. It's only God. And if we want to change our heart from selfish to serving, we just can't do it ourselves. We need God. Okay? So the first thing we teach new Christians in Cambodia, there is a living God, okay? And he can transform you. Second point, same verse, okay? This is, again, really obvious, but I think it's so important. We teach the Cambodians this. If you want God to change you, change your life and change your heart, you've really got to stay close to God. You've got to stay close to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, walk by the Spirit. Walking with someone is an intentional act. If I want to walk with Mike, I've got to go over to him. I got to be aware of where you're going. Right? Be aware of your movements when you get up, when you go down. It's something intentional. Okay, and that's what I teach the Cambodian Christians. It's walking with the Spirit is very intentional. Okay. Cambodia has got a really tragic past, but that tragic past has given us a few illustrations that we can use. You can go to the next slide. Danger mines. Unfortunately, there's a lot of mines in Cambodia, unexploded mines. They were from that Khmer Rouge time. The Khmer Rouge put these mines down on the western border with Thailand. And here's the real tragic thing is they didn't put the mines down so much to keep people from getting into Cambodia, but they put the mines down to keep their own people from escaping. Pretty brutal stuff. But there was a way that the Cambodians, during that horrible time of the Khmer Rouge, there was a way they could escape the country, and that is if there was someone who knew how to navigate his way through the mines to get to Thailand, okay? And so you would follow that guide. The Bible says walk with the Spirit. It also uses the phrase keep in step with the Spirit. And so you better believe that, you know, when these Cambodians were trying to get out of the minefield, you know, where their guide put their step, that's where you put your foot, right? You don't veer to the right. You don't veer to the left. You stay right where the guide is going. And that's just a little picture about we just intentionally, radically follow the Holy Spirit, no matter where he leads us, no matter how he leads us. Just a quick thing, new Christians in Cambodia will often say, well, how does the Holy Spirit lead you? There's no big surprises here. It's the Word of God. We obey the Word of God. Holy Spirit leads us through prayer. Okay, and I think the Holy Spirit also leads us when we gather together as believers and we encourage one another. All right, last point. And you can show the next verse. It's a long one, but let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. All right, here's the other thing. It's just what I teach the Cambodians. If you really want to experience that transformed heart, particularly to go from that selfish, natural state that we were born in into a heart that has an abundance of love for others, we need to trust God. We need to walk with God. But the other thing is we just really need to be radically obedient. Okay? We need to obey God. Transformation really cannot happen in the heart unless we're walking in obedience with God. Okay? This verse says it right here. A lot of times the things we want to do, they're going to be contrary to what God has for us. You ever experienced that? Like every day, you know, it's there is a conflict going on. And I want to just share one last story to just talk about what it means to obey. And you can show the next slide. This is not a very interesting picture, but there's a really cool story behind this. This is a new believer in Snool. His name is San, S-A-N. And a brand new believer, the Lord's really working in his life. But he tells a story about something that was really significant for him. And it goes along with what this point I'm trying to teach. Is one day he was out at work. They kind of travel around. They sell food to the workers living in the rubber plantations and things like that. And he found a phone, okay, just like this. But here's the thing, is he actually knew whose phone it was. It belonged to that guy right over there. He could actually see him, okay? But the Cambodian culture, it more or less says that if you find a phone, even if you know who it belongs to, you can keep it. As a matter of fact, not only can you keep it, you should keep it, okay? Kind of makes sense according to their worldview that we talked about in Sunday school class, okay? If someone lost a phone, they've done something bad, right? If you find it, hey, you're being rewarded, okay? This was a pretty good moment for San. Now, the other thing about you find a phone is you can bring it to the market and you can sell it. This phone will bring in about 2 weeks' wages, you know, just simply by finding something, bringing it to the market, selling it. That's a lot of money right there, okay? So San was a brand new believer. He thought, wow, great day. But he had been reading the Bible, you know, and his conscience started to get to him. The Bible says, count others as more important than yourself. And he realized that God's got different standards than what society has. So he returned the phone. This was a really, really hard thing for him to do. It was really hard to obey. Lost a lot of money, so to speak. He also experienced a little ridicule from, you know, the people around him. You know, it's stupid. Why would you do that? You know? But here's the point that I want to get to. San will say without a doubt that that was one of the most key moments in his Christian life. He said that when he returned that phone, he was just washed with a flood of peace that came over him. He said he'd never experienced anything like it. And he said that that peace was so strong and so amazing that he never, ever wanted to lose that feeling. And so he committed himself to a life of obedience. And this is when his Christian life just started to transform radically. He started to obey in the small things like the phone, and that leads to the bigger things. And he's become a real great servant of the Lord. And that was this was a key moment for him. Okay. Radical obedience. We obey the word. We obey our conscience. As the Lord leads us, we obey it even when it hurts. And that's the point. So that's it. I just wanted to bring that short teaching. That is something that transforms these fragile small groups in time into a powerful church with a powerful witness in Cambodia. I believe a lot of it is because of these things, and I just want to remind you of these points. The key moment is when we start to see people in the church, people in the small group serving one another in love. It transforms the group, okay? How do you go from a selfish person to someone who has a heart to love and to serve other people? I believe the Bible just shows us right here. Number one, don't try to do it on yourself. We need God. We got to ask God for help. Transform my selfish heart. Number two, we need to be intentional in walking with God. Stay in the Word, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship. Number three, obey the Lord radically in the big things and the small things. That's where the transformation comes. Thank you. I'm done. I'm going to pray for us. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this church. I want to thank you for Mike and Kim. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing Jenny and I today to share with this family of Christ. I want to thank you, Lord, that you provide the answers for our selfish, hard hearts. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's you that can breathe life into people who are spiritually dead, into churches that are spiritually dead, into small groups in Cambodia that are spiritually dead. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, will you move strongly in Cambodia? Father God, will you continue to move strongly in this church and in the lives and the families of the people here? We thank you, Lord. You're a good God. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.